This morning's sermon is from the book of Galatians as we continue our Advent services. And this Sunday's Advent theme is on love, and the name of the sermon is called God Sent Forth His Son. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Or you can use the Pew Bible on page 1791, or you can follow along on the screen. Galatians chapter 4. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's let God speak to us this morning. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, children of God. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Amen. Four verses with so much meaning. Because of God's love for His people, He sent forth His Son. That is the heart of the gospel right there. God sent forth His Son. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, referring to His first coming. In other words, when the right time came, which God had laid out, He sent forth His Son. Perfect, God's perfect timing, purposeful, and never accidental. For 4,000 years, God had promised us a Messiah. And in the fullness of time, God sent that Messiah to us, Jesus Christ, into the world. Born of a woman, Mary, as it says, born into flesh. This is Jesus, fully God and fully man, come to save. John wrote in chapter 1 of his gospel, we went through before, verse 14, he said, "And the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, us, who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons, children of God. So we could be adopted into God's family when we came to Christ. And Jesus, He had to live an obedient life under the law with us, which He did perfectly. He was perfect, holy, harmless, sinless, undefiled. Therefore, He was able to sacrifice Himself for us because He was the perfect Lamb of God. And as we read through the Scriptures, we find out His purpose for coming, and that was to redeem us from our sins, to save us, to redeem us, and reconcile us back to God through Him. That is the purpose in which He came. This was God the Father's will for the Son, that He would go and save His creation. Now, to redeem means to buy back or to purchase. In the context, it is a payment for a slave. The Redeemer then could say, "You are no longer a slave, you've been set free." Only the Redeemer could say that. And Jesus is our Redeemer, buying us back from our sins so we would no longer be a slave to sin and Satan. No longer in the bondage of sin. Set free. And more importantly than that, God gives us the power to not sin. To not sin. And because of God's love for his people, not only does he set us free from our sin, he says, now I'd like you to become part of my family. I would like you to go bear my name and be a part of my house, my kingdom. I want to adopt you as my child, says the Lord. What an invitation, huh? The Lord. He says, I want to adopt you into my family, my kingdom, with my people, and for my glory. Go bear my name. Go bear fruit. God wanted to take us out of a world where we were bound. We were bound to this world, and he wanted to come and save us and make us his own children. God, our creator, adopting us into his family so that his spirit, it says, would be placed into our hearts and we would call him Abba, Father. Now, Abba in Hebrew means daddy. That's what a little child calls their father, daddy. God goes to the slave market, if you will. I want you to think of this. God goes to the slave market, if you will. He sees our condition, and he purchases us with the blood of his son. And he places us into his family when we come to him through repentance and faith. We believe in his son and why he came. Believe means to trust in Christ. That's what believe means, to trust in Christ. And place your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation to be saved. And because of God's love for us, not only that, he gives us the Holy Spirit to know him better. He gives us the Holy Spirit into our heart so we can get to know him better. And not only that, he says, and here's your inheritance. I'm giving you, you are joint heirs with my son, Jesus Christ. I'm giving you everything I'm giving my son. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17, the apostle Paul wrote, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Listen to verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. And in Ephesians 1:3, which we read last Sunday, God said, I'm giving you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Right? Ephesians 1:3. This is God saying, every spiritual blessing in heaven is yours. Every. He didn't say some. We covered just 8 of them last week. The Bible's full of promises from God to his children. He says, I'm giving you every spiritual blessing in heaven. It's just waiting on you. It's just waiting on you. I'm giving you everything I gave my son. Because you're my child. Like he is. God the Son. You may wonder, what kind of father would give his son only to be killed for the sake of others? I couldn't. The only father, kind of father that loved the world that he made. Only that type of father could do that. Then he watched his creation fall into sin and he wanted to redeem them. That is the only father that could do something like this. That is what you call amazing love and grace, that he would give his son for you. If you brought your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. You can use the Pew Bible. It's not going to be on the screen. You can use the Pew Bible, 1803, if you want to use that Pew Bible. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. I want to share this passage with you. It talks about Jesus, what he did when he came, the process that he went through to come to save us. Very powerful passage. We went over this a while ago when we studied the book of Philippians, probably about a year and a half ago. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to go down to verse 5. Go down to verse 5, and I'm going to read through 11. I want you to listen very carefully what Jesus did. He is the perfect example of what humble and obedient looks like. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Listen to this, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. He's talking about hell. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What a passage. This gives us a clear picture of what Jesus did when he came. He came to earth to save us, redeem us, and reconcile us back to God through him. Paul wrote in that passage I just shared with you, he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example, as selfless humility. Be humble like Christ was when he came to save us. Jesus is the perfect example of what it means to be humble and obedient to the Father. Now listen, Jesus being God, I want you to understand this. Jesus being God himself, he is God the Son. He is God in the flesh. Come and dwelt among us, as John said. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God the Father, but made himself of no reputation, which means he made himself nothing. Other Bible translations say that he emptied himself. This is God in the flesh come to save. He humbled himself and was obedient to the Father's will, and he emptied himself, became nothing. Again, here's Jesus being God, God in the flesh. Listen, same deity, same power, same nature as God the Father, and he did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, but God the Father, but made himself of no reputation when he came to save us. He made himself nothing. Here I am, come to save you. And he took the form, it says, of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. You know what a bondservant is? That's a servant by choice. That's what bondservant is. That means We're bond servants of Christ, right? We came to Jesus willingly. Jesus didn't twist your arm and say, hey, it's time for you to come, right? We came willingly to Christ. He didn't make us. Hey, I told you guys this before, and I'll tell you again. If you don't want God in your life, no problem. He won't come. But if you do, look out. Look out. Because he is going to move into your heart like never before. He's going to change your desires like never before. You're not going to be the same person you once were. You're going to have different desires. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer, changing you and I from the inside out. So we become more and more like Jesus Christ, his son, right? The Bible says, be conformed to the image of my son. We come to Christ willingly. You know the other thing? Jesus, by the way, he went to the cross for you and me willingly. We didn't even have to ask him. It should have been us on the cross. We were all standing in line, and Jesus says, move over. I'm going for you. Amazing. Amazing. He came in the likeness of men. He became completely human and without sin, being fully God, fully man. And we read in the book of John, as we've been studying the Gospel of John, which we'll get back to next Sunday, in John 6:38, Jesus said, I come down from heaven. He told all those religious men and leaders and his disciples, he said, listen, I came down from heaven not to do my will. I came down to do my Father's will. And my Father's will is that you would come to me and I could save you. That's why I came. Everything we need for life and salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything you need, you will find it in Jesus Christ. And God the Father has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name. Oh, I love that. Verse 10 of that passage, Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Listen, as I said, of those in heaven, of those of earth, and those under the earth. That's hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, better sooner than later, if you know what I mean. Tracking? If you haven't come to Christ, better sooner than later. Because God the Father said everyone's going to bow their knee to my son. Whether they're in heaven, whether they're on earth, or whether they're in hell, they're going to bow. And they're going to confess that my son is Lord. To confess now, to submit now, means eternal life in Christ Jesus. It means eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, God the Father, he made the plan. God the Son made the plan possible. And God the Holy Spirit makes the plan work. The Father designed it. The Father initiated salvation. The Son validated salvation. And the Holy Spirit applies the reality of salvation. God the Father chose us. God the Son redeemed us. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Election is the work of the Father. Justification is the work of the Son. And sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amazing, huh? What do we got here? We've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, the triune Godhead, the Trinity, engaging in this wonderful reality of salvation for their glory. God saved you for his glory. He saved you for his glory. And you know, we really see the fullness of God's love in John 3:16, right? In 17, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's where we see the fullness of God's love for us. God at the right time sent the right person with the right purpose. And the purpose was to deliver you and me from the bondage of sin. God coming to adopt us into his own family. I told you guys this before. Those of you who are in Christ Jesus and saved, when God looks down from heaven and he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Can you imagine? God from heaven, the Father, looks down. He sees you. He sees Jesus in you. Amazing. Putting his spirit within you and me and giving us eternal light and an inheritance we could look forward to down the road. Amen. God said, I'm going to give you everything I gave my son. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus is waiting for you when you get there. If you are in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians, before we close, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. Highlight that in your Bible. Read it often. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Listen to what God said. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? You know what? Let me just break that down for you. In other words, you have no idea what I have in store for you. When you come home, you have no idea. You have no idea what I have in store, God said, for those who love me. Oh, I'm telling you, your brothers and sisters in Christ that are in heaven now, they haven't stopped beaming. They have been smiling. They have been singing. They've been dancing. They've been playing harps. Because we know there's a lot of harps in heaven. Scripture says it. There might be some pianos, Kelly. You'll be on it. But I'm telling you, I told you before, if God said, hey, if I'll give you a pass if you want to go back down to earth for 5 days, I'll bring it back up. You know what they would say? Uh-uh. I ain't leaving this place. I'll wait for them. Amen? I'll wait for them to come here. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, Lord. We thank you for feeding us spiritually, Lord. This is why we get together in Jesus' name, that you would speak to us, that you would talk to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, continue to talk to us daily in Jesus' name. Amen.